they want me to get rid of my dog. Can they do that?
I'm being fined for leaving my garage door open too long.
What are covenants? Do I have any rights?
Help, I feel like I've left the American zone.
If you want the answers to those questions, join me, Sue Bartholomew, and my guests on The Commons every Saturday from 2 to 3 right here on WEBR Fairfax Radio. We'll ask the experts and we'll untangle the truth about what's left of our property rights.
On the Commons is a weekly radio show dedicated to discussing the many issues surrounding mandatory membership homeowners associations. Join us as we explore this relatively new world of controlled living, which includes condominiums, cooperatives, and both attached and detached single-family homes. Living in a common ownership development means giving up the American dream. It means giving up your constitutional rights and control over your most valuable asset, your home. Living in a homeowners association means leaving the American zone. Radio Fairfax, you're on the Commons, and I'm Sue Bartholomew, and joining us on the Commons today, I have an old friend, Tom Deweese. Tom was supposed to have been on a little while ago, but I think he decided he'd rather have emergency surgery the day we were supposed to have the interview. So, Tom, I'm so happy that you're here.
Well, I'm a multitasker, you know.
Well, I know that at the time you were not ready to go on the air while you were under and having surgery, but I hope you're feeling better.
Feeling much better. It's something that was coming on for a number of years, and I didn't even realize it. And I thought I had food poisoning and found out it was much, much more serious than that, but it's been fixed, and I'm in better health than I have been in many, many years.
Well, I'm really glad to hear that. A number of people have been asking to have you back on the show, and so I'm glad you're here. Tom, you're the president of the American Policy Center in Virginia, in Warrenton, Virginia, and you have been sounding the alarm about property rights, mostly by government, but also you recognize the problems that we've had with HOAs, and you've done an absolutely phenomenal job of getting the word out. In fact, you just spent 2 weeks in Ohio talking about property rights.
Yeah, I've been traveling. I did 5 cities in 6 days in Ohio. I've been traveling the country over the last couple of years. I've been in probably 35 states and done more than 100 addresses on this issue. Property rights, they are under assault everywhere, and particularly under local government regulations, comprehensive development plans and so forth. And people are finding out that they are losing control of their property. Government is taking big swaths of property in the name of environmental protection or trying to control development. And in many, many cases, they are not being compensated for taking that property. And they are kind of in a straitjacket of what they can do on their own property. So this is what we're talking about. We're traveling the country explaining to people what the root of it is, where it comes from, why, and what it's leading to, and what to do about it.
Why is this happening?
We have a restructuring of our government process. It's a very, very complicated situation. But you've got non-elected organizations, non-governmental organizations that claim to be stakeholders. They all have their own private agendas of what they want, our country to look like. And, as I said, they claim to be stakeholders, but they're carpetbaggers, really. They come into town, they don't have a stake there, they lay down their stakes. The real stakeholders are the people who live there, but these guys have money. They are working with the Environmental Protection Agency. They're working with HUD, various other federal agencies that have put together these massive grant programs, which these NGOs helped write in the first place. And they move into the local community and begin to work with local elected representatives, promising them money, promising them all kinds of goodies if they'll go along with them, and they're ending up controlling They put together non-elected boards, councils, regional governments. There are boards on water control, boards on, as you know, well know, with the homeowners associations, the whole restrictions on what you can do, how, you know, what color you can paint your door, how high your grass can be, on and on and on. Well, those kinds of restrictions that used to be kind of exclusive to homeowners associations are now becoming universal throughout the community. And the effect of this is changing our system of government, where local representative government is disappearing. If you go to your local, once these things are put in place, if you go to your local representative and complain about one of these regulations, it's doing some damage to you. The way our founding fathers set up the government, that you had access to your local elected representatives. They would sit and talk with you. They would hear what you have to say. Today, they will simply refer you to the proper board or council and say, I don't have anything to do with it. You'll have to talk to them. These people in these boards and councils aren't elected. They don't care what you have to say. What you have done is damaged local representative government, taken government farther away from the people, and you end up with this top-down control. It's about money. It's about power. It's about an agenda that does not believe in private property rights. So it's a long answer to your question, but come right around. That's what it's about.
I had a friend, the late Fred Goldbecker, who always said that HOAs were a means for local government to distance themselves from their constituents. But what you're describing is essentially the same thing, but on a much greater scale.
Yeah, that's what I say. It's now become universal, where it used to just, you would just find it in a homeowners association, and you could make a decision. Well, I don't want to live in a homeowners association, so I'm not going to buy property in a neighborhood that has one, and I'll go somewhere else. Now, obviously, that's become more difficult as they have grown, but you still had choices. Now you're finding, I mean, I live in Fauquier County, Virginia, on 27 acres of land. One of the main driving forces of my coming here to buy this property and build a home on it was there's no homeowners association. Now I find out I've got the Fauquier Board of Supervisors and their planning commission and all the other little regs that go with it, and I've got more restrictions on my property now, what I can do, than I ever really did when I lived in a homeowners association in Fairfax County, Virginia.
You're kidding.
Not much. No, Fauquier County is now the one of the greenest, quote-unquote, greenest counties in the state of Virginia. It is controlled by an outside NGO organization called the Piedmont Environmental Council. We're finding that their people are not only some of the members of the Board of Supervisors are members of the PEC, but PEC members are staffers in the Planning Commission and other places in the county government. And the more we dig into this, the more we're finding absolutely nothing happens in this county without the approval of the Piedmont Environmental Council. That's a pretty scary situation because I don't know anybody who voted for them.
Is this all part and parcel of the Agenda 21?
That is, Agenda 21, you know, is a 1992 document that came out of the UN. 50,000 delegates helped to put that together. Heads of state, bureaucrats, diplomats, and these non-governmental organizations helped write that as an agenda. It was a culmination of several other documents that all came together in this one agenda to say what they wanted this transformation of our society to be, all based on the environment, tying together business, and the key to it is social justice. And you know, social justice is nothing more than redistribution of wealth. And when you drive an agenda with those things together, the public-private partnerships, which are pure fascism out of Mussolini's playbook, and you know, all these pieces and parts come together, and these policies are directly tied to that agenda that was put together there at the UN, and is being used as the blueprint for many of these programs. All along, those who are putting these programs in place deny any connection with Agenda 21, but connection is very, very clear and very, very plain. We've got lots of documents to prove that.
Where's it going to end? We've been watching this for a number of years. You've been talking about it for a number of years. You've had a much bigger picture. I've had a much more narrow picture of what's going on. We'll talk a little bit about, you know, in a minute, a little bit more about the actual incidents that are taking place and the changes that are taking place. But is it going to end? I mean, at what point, why do we accept this? Why are we allowing this to happen?
Well, first of all, we grew up, those of our generation, grew up with a trust of government and our local elected officials. And, you know, we used to elect people who understood our rights, private property rights, and individual liberty, and we didn't so much worry about what they were doing in these meetings, and could pretty much trust what they were doing, and if they didn't do the right thing, then we would vote them out of office. But over the last 20, even 30 years, these policies have been creeping in, using the same terms, the same ideas, the same institutions from the past, but suddenly a whole new agenda is taking foot, and of course it's all pushed through guilt. The guilt is your carbon footprint. The idea that we are damaging the earth and we've got to do these things to save the earth. It doesn't matter what you think your rights are. If you destroy the earth, then it doesn't matter anyway. And so this guilt, the lies of global warming and climate change and environmental protection, all the excuses that are being used, people began to throw their rights on the bonfire like a good old-fashioned book burning. And that's what we're seeing happen. They think, oh, I've got to do this. I don't have any choice. And so that's why people are accepting it. Then it's gotten to be such a behemoth that to try to fight City Hall now, to try to fight these NGOs, these stakeholders that are running things behind the scenes, becomes a near impossibility. And as people give up, they're afraid. So
fear. That's one. You know, you just said people are afraid. I've noticed that in the HOA arena, it's fear that seems to drive a lot of what happens there. Fear of pink doors, fear of neighbors with cars on blocks, fear of children under the age of 55 moving in. You know, fear of some of the most hideous and stupid things. And you wonder how adults actually fear these things.
Well, you see this climate of fear now is just pouring out of our government at every level. Of course, we run into the situation where if you say anything against these programs, you're a racist, you're a homophobe, you're this, you're that, you're anti-Muslim, whatever the case may be, just because you speak out and say, wait a minute, you put these things in place, you're damaging my property, we want to cut back the size of government, we want to make government so it stays in its cage, that it serves the people instead of us having to serve it. And every one of these programs have a constituency because somebody's getting the money from it. Somebody is receiving something from these programs. And so you start talking about cutting back on these programs, and suddenly you're a racist because you're cutting back on somebody's livelihood. I mean, that's how the argument goes. And so the minute they start throwing out those kinds of accusations, people back up and say, no, I'm not. No, I didn't mean that. And they back off, and fear sets in, and they don't say anymore. And that fear is permeating across the country.
Tom, I'm going to throw something out at you. You talked about conservationists. You talk about environmentalists. And you've got all of these boards and all of these groups, right?
Yeah.
Is there one person, one entity that is controlling all of this stuff? Is there a puppeteer in the background pulling all the strings, and these are just the people doing their bidding?
There's no one dictator back there that's pulling all this. But there is a combination. I mean, there's several thousand of these NGO groups. But when you go, you start to follow, go backwards from your local community into your state government, into your federal government, clear back to the international level, you do find that there are entities inside the United Nations that are pulling those strings. There are agencies inside the UN that our own federal governments agencies belong to, the Forest Service, the EPA, the Interior Department, all belong to these organizations. And this is where the policies are decided, and then it goes down the right, and it's sitting at these tables. The UNEP, the UN Environmental Policy Agency there, that's the most powerful one. And sitting at that table are members of those agencies I just mentioned, plus representatives of groups like the Sierra Club and the Nature Conservancy and the Audubon Society and many other of these NGO groups. And the American Planning Association is tied in with these. The American Planning Association is in every single city in America. You have the International Council for Local Environmental Initiatives, ICLEI, which helped write Agenda 21, which is propped up by the United Nations, sits at these tables as well. And they are recruiting your local government to become a member and pay them dues, and then they bring in all the agenda into your community and begin to implement it and put it in place. So it that's how it operates. It's a spider web. It's not a puppeteer at the top. It's a spider web of a whole lot of groups with private agendas, and it's all driven by your tax dollars. That's the incredible part.
Okay, you say it's a web, a spider's web, and they're all interconnected, but it would seem to me that somehow somebody's got to be putting all these things together.
Well, you've got a group of people who have a certain philosophy, a certain outlook on how government should be. Maurice Strong, of course, the head of the Earth Summit in 1992, for many, many years, all roads led directly to him, and he was pulling a lot of strings. He's not so much the power in place now, maybe because he got older. But there are individuals like that, but they are not. I just can't say that there's a one man puppeteer doing all this. There's too many people involved, but they all have a single mindedness and moving in the same direction. What they want is top-down control. Let me back it up this way. Go back to when the Berlin Wall fell and Soviet Union came crashing down. You now had in the world one superpower, the United States of America. The United States of America was created on the idea of individual liberty, limited government, private enterprise, and private property. Only nation on earth that was designed that way. Now you had all of these communists and socialists around the world who looked at, government was the answer, government grants you your rights, government decides for you, and here you had the only superpower in the world is the United States. They were terrified of that. We need to do something about this. They came up with this term, we need to harmonize the United States into the rest of the world. And that's what they set about doing. And they moved into the environmental movement. The Club of Rome is one of the international groups that made the statement that basically that how are they going to put together a world, a global governance? Well, the environment proved to be a perfect example, environmental Armageddon. As I said earlier, it doesn't matter what you think your rights are. If you're destroying the earth, then you've got to rethink that. And that's the guilt that they've played on people. Club of Rome was the first to come up with that idea. And, it permeates throughout the environmental movement, throughout the United Nations, throughout, all of these entities that want power. The excuse is the environment. That's what we get people to give up their liberties for. And the ultimate goal is social justice, which is really redistribution of wealth, redistribution of power, and top-down control.
Sounds like a wonderful world we're building, isn't it?
Absolutely not.
Property rights, you have a very good paper on your website. Let's give your website information out, Tom.
Yeah, my website is AmericanPolicy.org, AmericanPolicy.org. We're the American Policy Center, but our website's AmericanPolicy.org. On there, we've got all kinds of articles, archive of articles over the last several years that we've written on these issues. We've got tools that you can obtain there to learn more about it and help fight back. And we've got a national alert system called Sledgehammer that is by email. It's free. Give us your email address. You can sign on to that. And when something hot is happening, we will send it out to you and let you know what to do about it.
One of the papers that I read was defining property rights. And you have some absolutely wonderful, wonderful quotes here. One of my favorite is by President Calvin Coolidge, who said, ultimately, property rights and personal rights are the same thing.
And I like the other one from Wayne Hage, who's a rancher, now deceased, who has fought and fought and fought to save his ranch from the federal government. And he said, if you don't have the right to own and control property, then you are property.
Yes.
We put this together. Here, one of the things that's been happening across the country, people are beginning to take note. They are beginning to organize. They're beginning to fight back. And there have been several states that have, and even some local communities that have tried to put legislation together to stop all this. And some of that legislation, I have said, has been toothless, because if you put together a bill that says, we're not going to allow Agenda 21 in our community, and we're going to protect private property rights, well, first of all, the proponents of Agenda 21 never use that term. So, you know, you say it in the legislation that says, we're not going to allow that. Oh, this isn't that. This is local. We're not doing what you're saying there. And how are you going to defend property rights if people don't know what you mean? Property rights today, the definition of property rights versus what it was 40 years ago, is very different. 40 years ago, you could stand on the border of your property and say, cross that line and suffer the consequences. This is mine. And nobody challenged you on that. My home is my castle, all that kind of thing. Today, that sounds not only quaint, but to some people it sounds violent. We have been so indoctrinated to the idea that government has the right to tell you what to do with your property, and that you need to go along, and you certainly can't just build something on your property that hasn't been approved by government. You can't do things there that haven't been approved, because my gosh, you might do something that hurts me. And the example they always use is, I always get two examples here. One is somebody puts a pig farm next door to you. The other one is that they put some big bright spotlight there that shines into your bedroom window. Those are always the excuses why we need to have government controlling our property.
Hey, there was a massage parlor that was built right next to a church, and if you think that didn't cause a bit of a problem.
Yeah. Well, the thing is that since the beginning of human society, there have been nuisance laws. There have been ways to handle that on an individual basis. And you don't need totally all-encompassing, one-size-fits-all regulations in case maybe somebody might have sort of do something. But that's where we've come.
Yeah.
And so anyway, we decided that if we were going to ever make progress here, we needed to define what we meant by property rights. So that we could say, and the definitions and the quotes and so forth that we've used in our document on this are based on the John Locke ideas on what private property rights are. John Locke was the man who most influenced our founding fathers. The Declaration of Independence that Thomas Jefferson wrote basically is pure John Locke philosophy. And so we thought, if we're going to begin to define what we mean, we needed to go to the root of what our founding fathers believed. That would fit perfectly in then with the Constitution, and be meshed there. So that's what we did, and that's what this document is.
Would you like to tell us a little bit about it? I mean, I have it in front of me, but I want to make sure that our listeners know what we're talking about. What are define property rights?
I think the best definition, what we have at the very top, and this is from the state Supreme Court in the state of Washington. They had a case there called Board of Regents versus Roth, in which they very clearly outlined what private property rights are. It says, Property is a thing in a thing, consists not merely in its ownership and possession, but in the unrestricted right of use, enjoyment, and disposal. Anything which destroys any of the elements of property to that extent destroys the property itself. The substantial value of property lies in its use. If the right of use be denied, the value of the property is annihilated and ownership is rendered a barren right. And this is so right on with what we're dealing with now. If you talk to your local representatives, your elected officials, your county supervisors, county commissioners, and talk about, just ask them the question, will you defend private property rights? They will say, of course we will. Of course we will. And if you look at the programs they put together, the comprehensive development plans, I've seen them, where they have said, well, yes, property rights will be recognized. Well, thank you very much for recognizing my property right. But that goes right back to, if the right of use be denied, the value of the property is annihilated and ownership is rendered a barren right. And that's right on with what's happening in these comprehensive development plans. Oh, they'll say, they'll give you lip service, but when they deny your ability to control your property, to live on it, to build buildings on it, to put what you want to on it, without damaging somebody else's. I mean, that's understood. If you damage somebody else's property rights in doing that, obviously you're in violation. But if you're just living on your property and using it for what you want to use it for, and government comes along and says, nope, that's a violation, can't do it, for no reason other than they want to put a violation on you, then that's denying your value of your property.
I think you hit that on the, you know, for no reason other than wanting to put a violation on you. How often do we see that in the under the private government? Now, you're talking about the public government, and in HOAs you have what's known as the private government, mm-hmm. right? And they seem to, they have the power to fine you. This is a legislative power. State governments across the country have given associations the power to fine you for whatever reason. There's Billy Martin in Texas who's being fined $200 a day for flying the American flag.
Now, we have a lady in Orem, Utah, Betty Perry, who was arrested, put in handcuffs, and taken to jail because the grass in her front yard had died.
Yes.
Yeah.
There was, in fact, I was just reading a story about a similar situation in Florida. An older gentleman, 66-year-old gentleman, who was living, you know, on a limited income, retired, was told to fix his sod, to resod his lawn now, or go to jail, and he went to jail. But that's one of the things that I wanted to get to, Tom, is that if you call the police because something is happening, you suspect that, you know, there's money being stolen out of your HOA fund, this actually happened not to me, but to a neighbor who went out one morning and found that all four tires had been removed from the car and the car was just sitting there on the wheels. Called the police. They're too damn busy to get over there and take a report, look at it, do anything. They just don't want to do it. They just tell them, we don't have the money, we don't have the time, we don't have the manpower. Deal with it yourself. Yet, I am hearing from more and more and more people on a daily basis of homeowners who are being put in jail for showing up at board meetings, wanting to see the books and records, using the swimming pool because it's a common pool and they decided that they didn't want them there. But why is it that the police all of a sudden can show up and handcuff these people and take them to jail? Why is it that they can show up and stand at a meeting to intimidate the homeowners so that they don't ask embarrassing questions?
Yeah, this is the kind of growing tyranny that is taking place. And, you know, those of us who are advocates of limited government, we believe that government's job is to protect our rights. That's its job, not to grant us our rights. But this this change that is taking place, this agenda that I'm talking about, this change in our government, that's what you're seeing right here. You are seeing a government that is now ignoring our Constitution. I have now been dubbed by the Southern Poverty Law Center a domestic terrorist because I advocate the Constitution of the United States as the law of our land. Now, what is wrong with this picture? And what I'm telling you is, you know, as we're saying here, is that there is a transformation. Al Gore called it a wrenching transformation of our society under the excuse of environmental protection or stopping development, urban sprawl, of course, they call it. And what you're seeing now is what used to be the force of good, the police force, and your local government, that's job was to protect the rights of the individual, now being used in a tyrannical way to take away those rights if you dare question the state on what they're doing. And that's exactly what you're seeing here, the questioning the state. No matter what level it's at, it's the state, you know, whether it's the homeowners association or your local government or the federal government or whatever, it's the state, the powers that be don't want to be questioned, it used to be, say, well, I don't care if you want to question me or not. You know, I'm going to stand here and do it because it's my right. Have you read the Constitution? Now you stand there and do that just as you've described. Now you have the forces, armed forces, that come in and arrest you for doing things that it once was obvious that it was your right. And people have to look at this and say, even if you believe that we need to have all these regulations for environmental protection or whatever other excuse you have, you've got to look at that and say, there's something really wrong with your country when you can't even stand and discuss it and debate it. It used to be political debate. Now we're accused of attacking the state. And that tells you a great deal about what's taking place.
Well, I have to tell you something, and I say this quite often on the show, but I actually attended a law seminar put on by the Community Associations Institute a few years ago. And one of the attorneys, and by the way, the attorneys, the CAI attorneys get CLE credit for this. One of the attorneys gave a session in which she said that the board members are the parents. You work with the parents. You talk to the parents. The homeowners are children who don't know what they need. They don't know what they want. You ignore them. You work with the parents.
That exact philosophy, idea, permeates throughout all of the planning that's being implemented in communities and all the way up through government. And you wonder why, when you talk to your elected officials, that they won't respond to you. This is what's been pounded into their brain. And of course, now in our case, where those of us who have been fighting Agenda 21 and sustainable development across the country, the minute anybody stands up and says those words in a meeting, they are immediately shut down and laughed at. And escorted out of the building as being a kook. And I've got in front of me about seven or eight different articles from the New York Times to the Washington Post to Mother Jones Magazine to Atlantic Monthly to on and on, all ridiculing us for bringing up Agenda 21 and talking about what the New York Times article said, activists fighting green projects seeing UN plot. My favorite one was in Atlantic Magazine. It said, is the UN using bike paths to achieve world domination? Well, these things are just simply done that way to ridicule us. We got tinfoil hats on. We're all crazy. Well, interestingly enough, we've got all kinds of documents to show that what we're saying is absolutely true, where this is coming from. And we've got the things in the Federal Register from 1998 that shows the UN saying, I mean, excuse me, shows the EPA saying that putting their Sustainable Development Challenge grant program from the EPA. It says in there, the Sustainable Challenge Grant Program is also a step in implementing Agenda 21. It says it right there. We just acquired a new document from 1994. The American Planning Association has gone overboard in trying to prove it has absolutely no connection to Agenda 21, that everything they're doing is just planning. And yet, in this document from 1994, it's an American Planning Association newsletter that was produced in Northern California for the Northern California members of the American Planning Association. There is an article in there that says very specifically that planning is that Agenda 21 is a comprehensive blueprint for sustainable development, and that is what what they're doing, what they're implementing. It says it very clearly right there. But they continue to deny it and try to tell us that we have tinfoil hats and that this isn't true. But the documents keep popping up.
You know, I'm wondering whether the mainstream media knows what's going on and they're deliberately trying to cover things up. But I think that they're guilty of deliberate misinformation.
Well, take a look at, name the story, you know, whether it is this issue on development and property rights, or it is the NSA issue right now, or the IRS issue, or anything, elections, whatever. The mainstream media is completely in the back pockets of those people doing this. They are the reporters believe in this philosophy. I've talked to some of these reporters, and when we've given them information, it's like their brain just shuts off. Well,
yeah,
that doesn't compute with what I've been told.
Yeah.
I'm not allowed to believe that.
Yeah.
I can't say that. And I told a Reuters reporter who wanted to do an article on this. It was right after I was attacked on the front page of the New York Times. I said, look, I've got no interest in your article. I know what you're going to say. I know what it's going to, you know, and I'm not going to participate in my own lynching. So you do it on your own. You know, oh, I wouldn't do that. I wouldn't. Yeah, you would.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, of course,
yeah,
they will.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, one of the shows I did a couple of weeks ago was with Senator Mike Schneider from Nevada. The FBI has just spent 5 years in Nevada investigating criminal activity in homeowner associations by a number of different people. They have turned over, get this, Tom, 3.1 million pages of documentation. 26 people have been indicted. 198 audio files have been turned over, where they've gone in with, you know, secret taping and all of that. A number of videos have been turned over. 1,100 photos have been turned over. Four people have committed suicide. These are the top people that are under investigation, have allegedly committed suicide, although there were incidents with at least a couple of them where they were found beaten up. And, you know, the stories are just incredible. The Las Vegas Review-Journal has covered it, and there are, you know, one of their TV stations has covered it. Nobody across the country, not a single reporter has picked it up.
Yeah, it just goes on and on, and they, any time that you bring it up, they just say, oh, it's one of those guys again. I during my Ohio tour I had last week, people were telling me what would happen. One guy went to his county supervisors, or his county commissioners there, and said, you know, some of these plans you're putting together, we got some questions. And and the guy just looked at him mockingly, this county commissioner, mockingly looked at him and says, ah, Agenda 21. And literally says to the guy, hey, you got a grant for $10,000, we'll talk to you.
That's criminal.
It is criminal.
That's absolutely criminal, Tom.
You have no government anymore. You are as Wayne Hage says, you're now property. You're property of this government, and you're not allowed to stand up and question and bring up anything that is against what they want to do or suffer the consequences. But in saying that. And I don't want people to, I'm tired of seeing our people drag their feet and their chins on the ground, because all of this tyranny that's being created is a house of cards. It's a house of lies. And it doesn't take a whole lot to begin to show people what's happening and get people to fight back. And we've come, it's funny because a few years ago, everything we were putting out for over 20 years was saying, listen to me, this is what's happening. Finally, I started getting notes from people saying, okay, I get it, what do I do about it?
Yeah.
And I jokingly said, gee, I don't know, I never got that far before. I wasn't really joking. But we began to look at it and say, what can we do? What goes on, and what can we do about this? And I want to tell you, during this tour last week, I began to bring out things and do things differently we'd ever done before, and I never felt such energy in my life from my audiences. Keep in mind that these guys that we're fighting on this are afraid of us. They're deathly afraid of us. We have managed to break up their meetings. We're teaching people how to break up these facilitated meetings with these paid facilitators who lead the meetings and lead it down to a predetermined outcome. And if he's really good at it, he gets you to believe it was your idea. And this is how they put it. And then they call that public input.
Oh, yes. I've been subjected to one of those. That was really, really interesting. And when they went around the room and wanted people to tell them what they wanted, everybody came up with words, buzzwords that they'd heard earlier. When he got to me, he says, what do you want? And I said, I want to live in with dignity. So he starts writing it, and the guy must have been a robot or something, because dignity was never mentioned in the 2 days worth of stuff that they were putting on.
Of course not.
And so he starts writing D-I-G, and he stops, turns around, he looks at me, he says, dignity? I said, yep, dignity. D-I-G, and he turns around, looks at me. He finally writes it down, is that correct? I said, yep, you got it. And so he goes down to the next door, comes back. What do you mean?
You threw him off. Yeah.
Oh, I did. They never told you about living with dignity.
Yeah.
You know, they told you wanted to walk to the grocery store. You wanted to live in a high rise. You wanted no yard. They told you all of these things,
sure.
And everybody spewed it right back at them.
Yeah. But we're training people how to not do that, how not to fall for that, not to participate in that kind of a situation. But across the country, people are beginning to make progress, and this has caused the American Planning Association and ICLEI and others of these groups to really go into a tailspin. ICLEI just had its international meeting a month or so ago in Bonn, Germany, in which they literally were holding their heads in frustration, especially about the United States, because they couldn't get any new cities to join them because of our protests. So we've gotten over 150 cities in America to rescind their memberships in ICLEI. The American Planning Association immediately began to put together what they called boot camps to train their people how to deal with us. And one of the outrageous documents that has come out of that from the American Planning Association is called Glossary for the Public. And it says in here, the introduction says...
I'm giggling already.
Yes. The introduction says, given the heightened scrutiny of planners by some members of the public, what is said or not said is especially important in building support for planning. Now, in my presentations, I go through about 35 words that define or are used by them. I say, these are the new words of government. Amazingly, in this document are about all those words. I think they took it from my speech. Here's the words we're not going to use anymore. Public visioning, public-private partnerships, regionalism, regional planning, smart growth, stakeholders, sustainability, Delphi technique, density, all these things.
Density.
That they have there, yeah. And then, so what do you do instead? Well, what we have to have is a conversation with the community. To have meaning, plans and planning need to be relevant and meaningful to the everyday lives, hopes and aspirations of residents. You know, blah, blah, blah.
Puppycock.
Yeah. And it says, this is my favorite one. Avoid talking about or linking plans and planning with regulatory matters. Planning and planning is nothing but regulatory matters.
I was going to say, what are they talking? Tom, why is it that people buy into this? I mean, surely people are smarter than that. You've got to be intelligent to understand that this is gobbledygook.
Yeah. As George Orwell talked about, it's newspeak. And people don't realize it. They will use the institutions of the past, the Chamber of Commerce and the Farm Bureau and all these places that used to be establishments and institutions that we trusted. They use them. They've now moved in there and their people permeate these places. And so where do you turn? Who do you trust? Where do you find what's real if you don't have that root philosophy in you of freedom and the principles of freedom, to be able to recognize this as it takes place? There are very few people because the school system no longer teaches those things. The school system is an indoctrination factory to produce the global village idiots of the future. And that's what we're now dealing with. There's been a whole generation of them now that are out there voting and buying homes and working and accepting all these ideas. The minute, as you said, the guy's a zombie. The minute you say these words, their eyes glaze over and they start, moving in that direction and mouthing those words. And that really is what's happening. Now that sounds crazy, but that's exactly what is happening. And just watch people. They start to froth at the mouth and,
They foam,
Yeah.
Well, it's funny, Tom, I have to tell you this, but I interviewed Gary Solomon, who's a psychologist, and he's written a couple of papers. One of them is the HOA syndrome. And he talks about how living in an HOA is bad for your health. He's in Nevada. He's actually put up billboards saying that, kind of like the old, or maybe they're still there on cigarette packs, warning, smoking can be hazardous to your health. And he's pretty much got the same thing. And he's put up these billboards all over Nevada saying living in an HOA can be hazardous to your health. And he talks about what stress does to you and what stress does to your body. So I asked him, I said, Gary, what happens? How do you think this is going to end? What he said was it's like he feels that the children growing up in HOAs now who watch their parents come home, afraid of coming home, afraid of checking the mail, afraid of answering the door, afraid of doing all of this stuff, living in fear and under stress. He says he thinks that these are the kids that are going to grow up and get revenge later on. They're going to hunt these people down. And they're going to exact their revenge from them. What do you think?
Well, especially if they are instilling in these children the principles of freedom. And of course, that's why they're so afraid of homeschooled kids, because that is exactly what the homeschoolers are doing. And I've often said that look at a public meeting in the future where there's 100 people there and 10 of them were homeschooled. And they're all standing there going, I don't know what to do. And these 10 homeschoolers say, follow me. And because they're the only ones able to make decisions, the only ones able to break the mold. And so that's my hope for the future, and I believe that to be true. But what I'm seeing now, Shu, is exciting me beyond anything. As I said, don't drag your chin on the ground. I have never been more energized, because this is built on a house of cards, a house of lies, and it only takes a little bit to begin to show. You know, the whole global warming thing collapsed back in 2010, I believe it was, when they had the meeting in Copenhagen, and it was exposed that all these emails from the perpetrators of global warming, power structure, showed that they were lying, that they showed how they were controlling and intimidating people. All of a sudden, global warming came persona non grata to most of the world. It has never recovered. No matter how hard they try, they've never achieved another victory in policy control since then because they showed the lies. The same thing, the same route is with sustainable development, Agenda 21. Now they're saying don't use those terms. So I've laughed and I've said, you know, eventually they're going to have to do all their presentations in sign language because they won't have any words left. So, you know, the minute they come up with new words, we're right on it. But here's what we're doing. Let me do this before we run out of time.
Yeah.
We put together, and you can find it on our website at AmericanPolicy.org, Resolution to Protect Citizens' Property Rights. And here's how you use this. It is a document that, and this is not a legal document, and I'll explain that in a minute. It is, but basically what it says is, if they're going to do something on your property that's going to affect you, they bring you into the conversation. Is that an unreasonable request? They're going to do something to your property, they bring you into the conversation?
Now, this is for whom?
This is for county commissioners or elected officials to sign.
Okay.
That they say that they will protect your private property rights. And here's how you do it. Instead of rushing up to the podium, you know, that 3 minutes that you get, and say, you're bringing Agenda 21 into our community, and being laughed at and tarred and feathered and thrown out of the room, instead of doing that, you walk up and say, gentlemen, as you're bringing these plans and these planners into our community, I just have one question. What guarantees do I have that you'll protect my private property rights? At that point, you haven't brought up Agenda 21, you haven't even attacked planning. You ask them the one question that every single property owner in the county wants the answer to. And I guarantee you, they will stand up and say, oh, of course we'll protect your property rights. Hey, I'm a property owner too.
You've heard them, right?
Oh, yeah. So you just ask them then, you smile, and you say, well, I'm really happy to hear you say that, but gentlemen, I'd like to have it in writing, please. And at that point, listen to the room go silent. Because I guarantee you, they will not sign this document. And when they refuse to sign the document, then you ask the most radical question in the English language. Why? And let them talk. We had one in Southern Virginia. The county commissioner got up and said, I can't sign that document because I think there's a bigger agenda afoot here than what you're saying. And a lady saying, like what? You know, well, I'm not going to debate it with you, but there's, you know, well, you know, here's the guy. You've just flipped the issue on these guys. No longer are you wearing the tinfoil hat. They are. Some wacky conspiracy theory about protecting private property.
What a concept, huh?
Yeah. So what you do with it, you do not do this alone. You go with other people coordinated. When they say no, then other people get up and say, why? Now, I did this in a demonstration in Dayton, Ohio the other night. I put up in front all these people representing county commissioners and the NGO groups behind them and so forth. And I got to that point and I turned to the audience. I said, everybody stand up and say, why? And it was like this whoosh of air. And one person said, that's scary. And I said, that's exactly what you have to do in your elected officials' meetings. You have, whether they're the planning groups or the county commissioners themselves or whatever, you have to stand up, ask these questions, and say why with force, with other people there. And from that point, you begin to agitate, to organize. Next time, come back with 50 people with signs with the pictures of these county commissioners on there saying, why won't you answer this question? What are you hiding behind those back rooms? On and on and on. Make them the issue. Now, here's what I'm saying. This is not a legal document. What you're doing is you're taking a poll of your county commissioners. You're asking them what their morality is. Do they believe in private property rights or not? Is it more important for them to get the grant money and all the campaign money, I think, from those NGOs hiding behind them, or is it more important for them to represent you? And this is where you have to keep it up and keep it up and keep it up. What you're doing is you're laying the groundwork to throw these rascals out of office. Let them hang themselves by what they say and what they do. All you asked them was one simple question. Will you sign a document to protect my property rights to guarantee that you believe in my property rights? And they're saying no. and there's all you need to know. And every, you know, even those who believe that we need to protect the environment and all that, and I certainly believe we need to protect the environment, but you do that with private property ownership, you do that with limited government. But those who believe that a lot of these things are right have got to see there's something very wrong with your elected officials who will not guarantee your property rights. And this, when I've done this in these audiences, I have never felt more energy. The lady who did this for me down in Southern Virginia, she's my guinea pig, she had a bad relationship with this board of supervisors in the first place. She walked up and she said, "I want to start a new paradigm of relationship with you." And then she said, "As you're bringing these plans and these planters into our community, what guarantees," you know, exactly what I told her to say. She said two things. She never felt more empowered as she walked up there, because she no longer was carrying the albatross of trying to explain Agenda 21. And as she began to read the document to them, she said they looked like deer caught in the headlights.
Yeah.
And so that's what we're dealing with. Everything I've just explained to you, we have a booklet on our website called Special Report, Agenda 21, and How to Stop It. And the resolution is on the website. All of this is there. Our definition of property rights, how to, you know, all the background on Agenda 21 and everything. Everything is there. And
Tom, yeah. So I hope you will come back very soon.
Anytime. Yep.
You just stay healthy.
Okay.
And thank you so much for coming on today.
Well, thanks for the opportunity. I appreciate it.
Please check out our website at onthecommons.us. On the Commons is produced by OTC Multimedia Productions.
Well, I finally bought my dream home to enjoy retirement life. I've made new friends and buddies, lots of parties for my wife. It seemed that life was perfect, all my neighbors felt the same. Then along came death by CCRs, life's over, I'm fair game. Those petty rules and regulations, it's enough to make you cry. They're full of woes, no pink flamingos, someone tell us why. Slick managers and lawyers slither close, but they won't tell why our dream home should remind us we bought a one-way ticket to hell. Now there's lots of open meetings close to Justice 4HO. Those arrogant board members say what they want you to know. The CAI and ULI will help you lose it all. But I wouldn't sell that dream home yet, the writing's on the wall. Those petty rules and regulations, it's enough to make you cry. They're full of woes, no pink flamingos, someone tell us why. Slick managers and lawyers slither close, but they won't tell why our dream home should remind us we bought a one-way ticket to hell. Well, we're not afraid or stupid, all your threats mean nothing here. Time marches on, soon you'll be gone, united we'll be there. So put your rules and CCRs up where the sun don't shine, and enjoy those precious golden years, stop messing around with mine. Those petty rules and regulations, it's enough to make you cry. They're full of woes, no pink flamingos, someone tell us why. Slick managers and lawyers slither close, but they won't tell why our dream home should remind us we bought a one-way ticket to hell. Why our dream home should remind us we bought a one-way ticket to hell.